Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
This is episode 357. Welcome back to the show. First and foremost, I have to give a huge shout out to Brother Edgar Alejandro, who is a major contributor in the sense of helping us produce this program. And if he can help me out, he can help you out. So go to MasonicRevival.com. While you're listening to this show, I know you're listening to it. If you're not in your car, if you're sitting at work and you're scrolling your phone and you got the earbud in, pick up your phone and go to MasonicRevival.com. Check out some of the most amazing things he's got going on. If he's got anything new that's coming out, you're going to see it on his Instagram. You'll see it on my Instagram for sure. I can't tell you enough about how amazing his products are and the care that he takes in packaging and putting it all together. Y'all probably saw the apron case video I put out where I got a great new apron case, the best one I've ever had, the best one I feel has ever been in existence from Masonic Revival. Please check that out. I know Jared Stanley has one of those apron cases as well. Brother Jason Richards has one. We are guys who really like our quality, and we don't settle. And so Masonic Revival has really set the standard for that. So please check it out, MasonicRevival.com. If you're listening to this on time, I just got home from Camp Masonry and I'm using my premonitions to tell you that I had a wonderful time. It actually, at the time of recording this, hasn't happened yet. I'm actually leaving tomorrow. So recording this on Thursday evening. Anyway, want to give a huge shout out because it's happened. I know it went off. Camp Masonry, thank you so much to all of the brothers who helped put that together. In the news, I have some incredible news. The big news that we were talking about, perhaps you heard about it already, but maybe you haven't. The big news is that It's Business Time, Adapting a Corporate Path for Freemasonry, the book that I co-wrote along with Brother John T. Ruark, is now on audible.com. That's right. So we, of course, have the print book that you can pick up on Amazon. You can go to wcypodcast.com and click on the sidebar there, click the links, and it'll go to Amazon. You can get it in print, you can get it as a Kindle edition, and you can also get it on iBooks. But there were some guys who said, can we get it on Audible? Absolutely. We said we were working on it, and it's here. So if you go to themasonicroundtable.com/book, it'll take you right there. The really cool part is John and I did not narrate this book. We actually got a great brother to do the narration. Who is it? That's right. We got Brother Jared Stanley of the podcast slash video show What is a Mason to do our audiobook, and he does a fantastic job of narrating the book. So I want to give a mega shout out to Brother Jared Stanley for his monumental effort in assisting us in this way. And what you can do is you can go again to themasonicroundtable.com/book and you can listen to a sample of it. We have the entire introduction of the book as a sample read. So check that out. I really hope you guys enjoy it. It's been a long time and it was an interesting process in getting this all together. And Brother Jared Stanley, again, wonderful job. A real honor to work with Brother Jared Stanley and John T. Ruark on this book. And if you want a print copy of the book and you want it autographed, then check out the limited edition shop on wcypodcast.com. So that's the big, big news. The other bit of news is that in just a few weeks, on August 25th, you can come to a really awesome barbecue lunch and a lecture with me. So the Kansas Lodge of Research is kicking off a new season with barbecue and a special presentation that I'm going to be doing on colonial masonry. If you've seen the lecture before, awesome. If you've never seen it, I've got some great information and some great stories. Again, that'll be Saturday, August 25th, 2018. The meal is at noon. Lecture will begin at 1 p.m. I think we're going to get out of there by 3 p.m. I'm not going to talk for 3 hours, so don't worry. They're charging $12.70, and you'll pay for it in advance. So you have to register below. So go to kslor.org to register. I hope to see you guys there. Now, last week, we started to read a paper called the Grand Lodge of France, but it was more aptly about the Grand Orient of France, and we began to explore some of the liberal decisions that they've made regarding the volume of sacred law, the removal of deity in their ritual, and all of this stuff that happened in the late 19th century. There was a slew of reaction in the negative, right, here in the United States, shortly after that, and right around 1916, P.E. Kellett wrote this letter to clear up any of the misinterpretations, the bad thoughts that in general Masons were having about the Grand Orient of France. At this time, there was no recognition. And to be clear, there still is not recognition. But P.E. Kellett, who was the president of the Past Masters Association of the AFNAM in Winnipeg back in 1915, wanted to find out the information. So before you listen to this episode, I urge you to listen to the last episode so that you know where we're picking up. So this week, we're going to pick up right where we left off. P.E. Kellett signed out his letter, and I said, if you want to hear the reply from the Grand Orient of France, you got to listen next week. So that's right now. Let's go into that. And again, if you haven't listened to it, check out episode 356, and then listen to this episode. But without any further delay, let's see what the Grand Orient of France had to say. In due course, I received the following reply. Paris, October 6th, 1916. To Very Dear Brother Kellett, Winnipeg. Very dear brother, I have the honor to inform you that your letter, dated July 24th last, has been duly received by the Grand Orient of France. Sometime before its receipt, and at the request of our brother Quartier Latin of Switzerland, copies of your constitution and of our general regulations were mailed to you. Today I am mailing you a copy of the pamphlet, quote, The Freemasonry of the Grand Orient of France. The perusal of these two pamphlets will be sufficient to demonstrate to you exactly what the Grand Orient of France really is. I also desire to reply to the questions which you have asked me. It is easy to say that the Grand Orient of France has abandoned the ancient traditions of the order, but it is very difficult to prove it. To state that we are frankly atheistic is to commit the greatest error. It will be sufficient that you read the second paragraph of the first article of our Constitution, which reads as follows. Freemasonry has for its basic principles mutual tolerance, respect for others and for oneself, and liberty of conscience. I can affirm that the Grand Orient of France is neither deist, atheist, nor positivist. All philosophical conceptions are represented within its body. In what manner is the Grand Orient of France a political organization? It includes among its members, it must not be forgotten that France is a republic, citizens belonging to all the various bases of political opinion. You will thus see that the Grand Orient of France is not bound to any party and cannot in consequence be considered a political organization. All philosophical questions are discussed in our lodges, including political and social economy, and each member may, during the course of these discussions, express freely his personal opinions in a fraternal and friendly manner suitable to the Masonic reunions. The Grand Orient of France consists of lodges which confer the first degrees, entered apprentice, fellowcraft, and master mason, chapters which work up to the 18th degree, Rose-Croix, philosophical councils, or aeropages, which work up to the 30th degree, Kadosh, and the Grand Lodge of Rites, Supreme Council of the Grand Orient of France. This confers the 31st, 32nd, and 33rd degrees. The Grand Orient of France, which was founded in 1736, includes at present 472 lodges, 75 chapters, and 31 philosophical councils or aeropagi. Contrary to the information that has been given to you, we have not, under our own jurisdiction, mixed lodges of men and women, nor lodges of women only. We do not even recognize such lodges. As you may have seen in our Constitution, and as I have stated previously, the Grand Orient of France, while it respects all philosophical beliefs, insists upon an absolute liberty of belief. This does not mean that we banish from our lodges the belief in God. The United Grand Lodge of England, on the contrary, desires to make a belief in God in some manner compulsory. The Grand Orient of France is much more liberal, since in proclaiming the absolute liberty of belief, it permits to each one of its members the liberty to believe or not to believe in God, and by so doing desires to respect its members in their convictions, their doctrines, and their beliefs. This is the reason why fraternal relations do not exist between the United Grand Lodge of England and the Grand Orient of France. We regret this exceedingly, It is not painful to contemplate that these two Masonic bodies continue to ignore one another, even at the moment when England and France are so closely and cordially united for the defense of right, justice, and civilization. Do the English and French soldiers, who are fighting side by side and giving freely of their blood for the triumph of this just cause, trouble themselves about the philosophical beliefs of one another? Nevertheless, the intimate fraternity exists between them, which excites the admiration of the civilized world. England has always been considered rightly, in other respects, a country of liberty. It is difficult to understand, under the circumstances, why the Freemasons of this great and noble nation should want to deprive their brothers of France this same liberty. I ardently desire to see these difficulties, which appear to me to be based upon mutual misunderstanding, removed. As a Freemason and as a Frenchman, this is my fervent wish. I ask you to accept, very dear brother, the assurance of my most fraternal sentiments. G. Corneau, the President of the Council of the Order. The information received may, therefore, be regarded as authentic, and what I have to say regarding the Grand Orient of France will not be based on mere hearsay. A careful reading of the letter quoted above, the Constitution and the pamphlet referred to cannot but impress one with the earnestness and the whole-souled fraternal spirit of the Grand Orient. Their methods are different from ours. But this is due to the circumstances of their environment, which influence them quite materially. One cannot help but notice that they have the same aims and possess the same aspirations as we have, and that they seem, if anything, more earnest than we are in working toward the desired and advancement of good for mankind. They seem to direct most of their activity along external and social lines. The ideal ever before them seems to be the moral and intellectual improvement of their members. Their whole lodge life is aimed to train their members for a life of activity in the interests of humanity. It has been said that Masons who live in a Protestant country can hardly realize the privilege they enjoy. Authorities say that Freemasons of France have been subjected to narrow-minded intolerance and prejudice, that they have been excommunicated, persecuted, insulted, and detested, and that their benevolent activities have been met by all of the hindrances, calamities, slanders, and active opposition, pettiness, clericalism could invent. By the very force of events, Masonry in France became the directing force of the democracy. Masonic lodges became centers where liberal minds could gather for exchange of views. Even there, they had to be discreet, for the police were on the watch. Circumstances in France have been such that it would have been, as one has expressed it, quote-unquote, crime against the Masonic idea for the members to shut themselves up in a classic Masonry. It shut themselves up in classic Masonry. This condition excited in the years following the establishment of the Third Republic after 1870. For a number of years, though, they have not been seriously threatened by their old enemies. The aspect of affairs has changed. That period of intolerance from clerical source, is responsible for the stand that the French Masons took with regard to God and religion and politics. But I will say more later on those two topics. They have committed errors, but in my opinion have done nothing for which they should be punished today. They regret being separated from the brethren of other countries, and, as we have seen from the letter quoted, they would welcome the fraternal hand from us. Separation is, I believe, due to misunderstanding. French Masons seem to regard the institution as still in its infancy, not yet definitely formed, a progressive institution. They are not averse to trying out reform. They do not consider the institution is such as they should be satisfied with and refuse to change in any respect. They believe it should be changed in anything but principle, if it will help to realize the dream of a world at peace and civilized in a truly Masonic sense. Their program is entirely philosophical. Their lodges are schools, existing to mold independent thinkers, free from prejudice and intolerance, to take their part in the citizenship of the nation. Stated briefly, their principles, etc., as set forth in their official pamphlet, The Freemasonry of the Grand Orient of France, are somewhat as follows. They recognize no truths, save those based on reason and science, and combat particularly the quote-unquote superstitions and presumptions of French clericalism. Their primordial law is toleration, respect for all creeds, all ideas, and all opinions. They impose no dogma on their adherents. They encourage free research for truths, scientific, moral, political, and social. Their work among members is to develop their faculties and to augment their knowledge by study and discussion. Men of all classes are taken into their lodges to work in common, quote-unquote, for the emancipation of the human spirit, for the independence of the people, and for the social welfare of humanity. Their system of morality is based on the teaching that to be happier, one has to be better. The scientific study of the human heart establishes for them the fact that social life is the most indispensable weapon in the struggle for existence. Those who live a common life and band themselves together endure, while those who isolate themselves succumb. The association of individuals develops love and expands in the heart desires for the welfare of all. They particularly point out that morality can be attained outside of the religious superstitions or philosophical theories. French Freemasonry, in addition to striving to emancipate its members and separate morality from religious superstition and theory, recognizes its mission to make citizens free and equal before the law, to develop the idea of brotherhood and equality. She enunciates the principle that it is the primitive heritage of man, his individual right, to enjoy fully the fruit of his work, to say and to write that which he thinks, to join himself to his fellows when he sees fit, to make that which seems good to him, to associate for more common purposes of any kind, material or intellectual, to put into practice his ideas and his opinions, to teach that which he learns in the course of experience and study, and to demand from society respect for the liberties for each and all. This may sound very socialistic, but the conditions of the country may have required a declaration of that kind from Masonry. I cannot help regarding this as simply a distinct protest against the encroachments of clericalism. This pamphlet further declares that Masonry works for the assuring of triumph of democracy so that citizens can make a quote-unquote direct part as considerable as possible in carrying on of public affairs and in exercising the great possible part of that national sovereignty toward which the people of France have marched for a century without being able to attain, end quote. French Freemasonry interests herself in social laws because she believes that through them, men will realize the simultaneous welfare of the individual, the family, and general society. History bears witness to the necessity of so molding these laws as to overcome the rivalry of selfish interests from whence spring the miseries, the sufferings, and hatreds of society. Social problems they, therefore, consider legitimate Masonic problems if Masonry is to fulfill its mission in its broadest sense. They believe the things that menace the progress of human society should be discussed, so that indirectly they may be drawn to the attention of public opinion, and through that law will be demanded to remedy them. Under this heading, they cite particularly that they aim at legislation to combat misery, which is the most active cause of degeneracy, bad morals, and crimes. Legislation to protect the child against moral, intellectual, and physical atrophy. Legislation to lighten the burden of the woman in the family and in society. Legislation to recognize the dignity of labor, to ensure the safety of the laborer, and to help in solving the strifes of labor. They realize fully the vastness of the task they set themselves in, intellectual, moral, and social development, but Freemasonry, being a permanent institution, has the time for it, and does not therefore allow herself to be deterred because of the size of the task. A step at a time finally succeeds. They describe their lodges as being almost like schools in the sense of study classes and university. Their membership is recruited by voluntary impulse, as with us, the only condition of membership of being free, as we Masonically understand it, and of having good morals. No dogma, religious, political, or social, is imposed on their members. Each member has absolute liberty of thought, which he is led to modify or change along the lines of progression as his own sense may dictate when, by discussion, more extended knowledge and more numerous facts present themselves. The condition that every free man of good morals, whatever his ideas may be, can introduce into the discussions of the lodge principles and aspirations of the more diverse kind as to the political and social conditions has the result of an educating and molding opinion in the best possible way. As when one stone is struck upon another, a jet of light is produced. So when ideas clash, enlightenment likewise follows. By virtue of a well-balanced scheme, to the center of which these incongruous thoughts move from the absolute order maintained in the discussion, they understand themselves and criticize themselves. They analyze and refine the one, the other, and evolve a common reflected opinion. The result is every French Freemason goes from lodge, if not transformed, at least better informed, improved in every way. The truth which the Masonic study has created percolates indirectly into profane society with manifest results. French Freemasonry thus offers its initiates a means of reunion where they can inspect their efforts and their researches. She places them in the center of human researches, quote, by the framework, by the symbols, by the custom she makes them develop, without knowing it, the best that is in them, intellectually and morally, besides realizing the fruitful union of heart and spirit, end quote. She elevates individuals by inciting them to make themselves strong, desirable, and true, just and good. She protects her members at the same time against excess by maintaining internal discipline. By conducting these studies, the Grand Orient of France keeps before her members and indirectly before the people generally the most practical model of the most ideal. She has already exerted a powerful influence on the different institutions of people. Her task is to inculcate more and more true order for the betterment of humanity. In specifying more and more this ideal, she works to the end of bringing about the most favorable conditions, and, at the same time, the most legitimate conditions of happiness. This quote-unquote elevated school of intellectual and moral nobility shines not to lose itself in mere abstraction, but studies what would seem to be of practical benefit to humanity. She gives her force, trained by the intelligence, to the service of light and of the spirit. With study and research always going on and never interrupted, the Freemasonry of the Grand Orient of France cannot therefore become dogma. New thought and reason is ever being evolved. Further investigation is forever upsetting proven theories. As to their methods of working to these ends, the pamphlet gives some very interesting information. Their annual convention, composed of delegates from all of the lodges, meets in Paris every year in the month of September. One of the most important functions of this convention is to fix the questions which ought to be referred for the consideration of the lodges during the ensuing year. The program is discussed, added to and taken from, and finally adopted and sent out to the lodges. By this method, the General Convention condenses the thought of Masonry throughout all the lodges, and members are kept in touch with all the studies pursued in other lodges than their own. The Masonic thought of the whole country is systematized and crystallized. Aside from the convention program, each lodge keeps a teacher to study problems of philosophy, morality, socialism, and history, and brings before the lodge what he considers worthy of discussion. The lodges work, therefore, largely on their own initiative, and these new discussions are reported at the next convention, and may perhaps be put on the general program for the following year. To us, these discussions might seem to lead on to dangerous ground and have bad effects. With reference to this, they say, quote, "The discussions which these problems provoke are always conducted courteously and amicably. Tolerance is the first rule of the Masonic Association. And it is thus that men belonging to the philosophical or political schools of the most diverse kind may find harmoniously, without noise and without vain agitations, the solution of the problems which interest the prosperity of the nation and the progress of humanity." End quote. Among the principal questions examined in the convention and in the lodges for some years back are the following, taken from a list they give. Sociological, the status of women and children in modern society. The struggle against alcoholism. The struggle against crime, more especially juvenile crime. The means of combating prostitution, vagabondage, and mendicancy. Legislative, the reform and simplification of legal procedure, reform of the magistracy, civil service administration, public instruction, the taking it out of the hands of the clergy, betterings of methods of taxation, economic, condition of the working man and how it may be bettered, cooperation, cheap dwelling houses, agricultural credits, working men's credits, means of encouraging the apprentice system, homes for working women, philosophic, study of morality outside of all religious dogma, the findings of a morality, lay and scientific, study of the various philosophical systems. What I have just given is but a brief synopsis of what is contained in their pamphlet. The Freemasonry of the Grand Orient of France, which, being an official publication for the purpose of setting forth their aims, aspirations, and reasons for being, may be regarded as a fair statement. What might also be called hereditary objections are hard to overcome, and some of you may now be disposed to think that their philosophy and work mere socialism to be scoffed at and carefully avoided by Masonry. The Sermon on the Mount was equally, if not more, socialistic, yet we do not generally think of putting it aside on account of that. A great English scholar once said that Christ's Sermon on the Mount may be justly regarded as the character of Christian socialism. Objection may be raised that this kind of thought, working in French Masonic lodges, would inevitably lead to the Masonic institution in France becoming a mere political organization. Such, I do not believe to be the case, and in rebuttal of your thoughts, if they lean that way, I would refer you again to the statement in the letter I have quoted, that their membership is made up of men from all political parties in France. Along the same line, I will quote paragraph 15 of their constitution, which says, quote, lodges have the right of discipline over all their members and over all masons present at their working. They prohibit all debates and on the acts of civil authority and all Masonic intervention in the struggles of political parties. The presiding officer rules the meeting, end quote. The Grand Orient of France has also at various times issued instructions enforcing the above rules. To quote, first, if, as citizens, the members of the Federation are free in their political actions as Freemasons, they must abstain from bringing the name and the flag of Freemasonry into election conflicts and the competition of parties. End quote. Circular, 1885. Quote, all political debates at Masonic meetings are strictly forbidden. End quote. Circular, 1885. If French Masonry has a political influence, and no doubt it has, it is an indirect influence, which we, in this jurisdiction, might do worse than emulate. The latest political influence they are crediting with exerting is that which established secular schools in place of monastic schools. A few facts in connection with this will indicate why the French people, non-Masons as well as Masons, demanded this separation. In France, in 1897, there were 14 convictions in the courts against monastic teachers for outrages on decency. In 1898, there were 13 more convictions for similar offenses. Severe sentences were imposed in each case by Catholic judges. Is it any wonder that the monasteries were abolished and secular schools established? Masonry has been blamed in magazine articles for bringing this change about. No official action was taken. Some informers may have been Masons, but not all of them. Who would not inform? I have not been able to find any evidence to substantiate the charge made against Masonry, but if similar conditions existed in this country, I should be sorry if the Masonic institution here were not red-blooded enough to exert an influence to right such a wrong. If that would condemn us to being called political institution, I, for one, would rejoice in the name. The Grand Orient of France is not a political organization, nor does it aim to be. It does not aim to be an influence in molding the opinions of its members so that when they are called upon to act and vote as citizens, they may do so with a view to the general system, to the profit of our Masonic institution both individually and collectively. Our interests in public questions is largely material. Only where the financial interests are directly affected do we as people seem to bring ourselves to the point of investigating, criticizing, and demanding the correction of faults in our public government. We overlook altogether the by far greater problems of government, sociological questions, moral reforms, and other phases of public betterment which French Masons make a study of. If there were the possibility of a boodling scandal in the connection with these other questions, they might be more live topics of interest with us. To be continued. All right, so we will continue this series next week when we read a bit from The Builder in March of 1918, when we continue with part two of Internationalism and Freemasonry by Brother P.E. Kellett, Grand Master of Manitoba. Until then, let me just remind everybody how to help support this program. Go to wcypodcast.com, and you can, of course, click on direct donation through PayPal, and by doing that, you have a couple options. You can make a one-time donation, or you can make a monthly contribution by becoming a contributor, a fellow, or a producer. Of course, we also have our limited edition shop. If you go there, you'll see the brand new pin design, and I will announce it soon once we have them in stock, and we'll do a pre-order when we get a little bit closer. I have just one or two, maybe three money clips left. Somebody just ordered one, so I'm about ready to send that out. Probably have sent it out already. By the time you're listening to this, we've got the Mason's Lady car decal, if your lady would like one. And last but not least on there, we have the book, It's Business Time, which is the book that John Ruark and I both wrote. I sell it for $15, the same as Amazon, but I have to charge $3 to ship it. Why buy it through me? That's just if you want an autographed copy. If you don't care about that, then by all means, head on over to Amazon.com and find it there, or you can just take a direct link right to it on the website. You can go to wcypodcast.com. It's right there on the left-hand side. The top one, if you click that, you'll get a print copy. The one underneath will get you a Kindle copy. But of course, if you want to listen to it, awesome. You can pick that book up again at themasonicroundtable.com/book. I also would like to go ahead and mention that Bankers Best just dropped a brand new product, guys. I hope you're ready. So Bankers Best really started out as a great company that had beard balms and oils and mustache wax. But you know, sometimes the guys have to shave. I shave. I have a lot of fun shaving. I really enjoy the art of shaving. And Brother Levi Banker, in addition to having beard oils, balms and waxes, and even shampoo and soaps, he has just launched the shave soap. People ask me, they say, RJ, you're really into shaving. I'm not ready to do a straight razor shave yet, but what's the first thing I can do? What's one thing I can do to get a better shave? And I always tell them, get yourself a brush and shave with a soap cake first. The soap here is really great stuff. Levi says that it's their handmade small batch shaving soap that's been thoroughly tested and approved for quality before they ever considered letting it get onto the faces and heads of whoever their customers were. So this is thoroughly tested. The ingredients are coconut oil, palm oil, which is sustainably sourced, kosher glycerin, all basic ingredients. Try it out. It's a 72 gram soap cake, so it's going to last you a really long time, a lot longer than your creams are going to last, a lot longer than your dad or your grandfather's Barbasol was going to last you. Get a shave brush next time you go to Walgreens for a couple bucks. Hey, my military guys, I used to shop at the commissary myself. Check it out. Go to the commissary, get yourself one of those green handle brushes that they carry. It's not a bad brush. And those are like $3. The shave shampoo is $12, so check it out. Use the coupon code BBWCY357 and you'll get a percentage off and you help this program out also. And last but not least, if you want to increase your focus, increase your mental awareness, check out Alpha Brain. You can go to our website for that. Click on More, then click on Get Onnit, and you can read all about some of the great products that Onnit Labs has for us. Everything there I have tried. Two main things I love is Alpha Brain and Hemp Force Protein. If you use the coupon code WCY, you'll get 10% off, which helps out with the shipping. It's FedEx, so you get it pretty quick also. I want to quickly mention the Great Books program, the Intellectual Linear Progression. Check that out as well. You can find that in the sidebar of our website. Use promo code there, WCY. You'll get $25 off your first 3 months, which is a pretty killer deal because you're going to get a really awesome book straight away from Brother Scott Hambrick. And of course, this show is made possible by a wonderful grant from Edgar Alejandro of Masonic Revival. If you're looking for anything in the realm of Masonic merchandise, that's where you're going to go to get it. That's where the quality is. That's where the contemporary, newer design is. These aren't your tired old square and compass designs thrown on a coffee mug. These are designs that were actually designed by a designer who is a brother, past master of a lodge, and he's a phenomenal friend and brother. And he's helped us out incredibly. So I urge you to go over to MasonicRevival.com and pick out neckties, pocket squares, lapel pins. They even have a cigar humidor. The guy is constantly designing new awesome things that we tend to enjoy. We like crafted things. We like nice things. Things that we can pass down to our kids, to our sons who join lodges, to our family members. And I think that's that kind of quality. Check out MasonicRevival.com. And if you talk to Edgar Alejandro at an event somewhere, because you know he's going to be there, shake his hand and tell him thanks for all he does for this fraternity and for helping assist the WCY podcast in its production. If you like Masonic podcasts, please don't forget about the Masonic Roundtable going live every Tuesday at 10, 9 Central. We had a little flip-flop last week. I gave the Grand Lodge of Illinois history thanks to Right Worshipful Brother Frank E. Klein and the Grand Lodge for putting together all the information for me that I used for the episode. And Brother Mike Hambrick was out. He actually suffered a loss in his family. My heart goes out to him and his family. And so he will be back hopefully this upcoming Tuesday, where he will give us the Grand Lodge of Ohio. Many thanks to Mike. We've been thinking about you this week. Brother, really love you, man. We'll talk to you soon, hopefully Tuesday. And lastly, if you like reading Masonic articles, you can't get better than the Midnight Freemasons. I went ahead and we updated the look of the site. I think it looks really great on mobile now. It looks really great on the web now. Just a nice, clean, white design, easy on the eyes, no weird font things that happen anymore, and it is really refreshing. So stop on by, check it out. We just posted a great article this last week, Wednesday. Michael Arce, who had a phenomenal piece that really talked about hidden in plain sight symbolism. Before that, Greg Knott talked, he had a piece about installing their latest Tyler, which was fantastic. And coming up over the next couple weeks, Greg Knott's got another great piece on the impact of War Series. He'll go with part three. A couple weeks away, he's got another one coming up called The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. You can guess what's in that, but I guarantee you're not going to know everything that he writes about, because Greg Knott has a way with history, and he's got phenomenal pictures most of the time that he takes. With all that, I wish you guys the best in the upcoming week. Thank you so much for allowing me to bring you this program. I hope you enjoyed as we explore the strange world of the Grand Orient of France over the next week or so and last week. And if you want to talk a little bit more about it, or you have questions or comments, feel free to reach out to me, whether it's on Facebook, send me a message there, or you can find me at admin@wcypodcast.com, or just email wcypodcast@gmail.com, and I usually will get back to you as soon as possible. I get a lot of emails, so sometimes it takes me up to 20 to 30 days to reply, and I'm really sorry about that. I'm trying to get better at it, but as you all know, Freemasonry is a labor of love. I don't do this full time. I try to do this podcast full time, but I also work full time, and I got a whole family, just like we all do. So just please note that if you write me an email and I can get to it quickly, I will. If it's a longer email, I might sit on it for a few days before I get to read it, unless I've got a lull in my day, which is infrequent, but I do appreciate the patience, and you guys keep coming back week after week and listening to this program, and those people out there who are producing this program month after month. You make this all possible, and we really are changing the face of Freemasonry. We're seeing education take the forefront of lodges. We're seeing men join because they're hearing and reading Masonic materials worldwide, and we're really making an impact. And that's the key. Thank you so much, everybody. Until next week, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.